Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on Monday, Cofield and Company. Busy show today. I say that every day because every day is busy. Lots going on. This is one of the great weeks in the history of Las Vegas. I'm not overstating. For live sporting events. It's craziness. This past weekend was pretty good. But 3 hours on the way, we have Nai Zaragoza in with us. What's up?
Hey, everybody.
What's up, pal?
What's up?
Hold on. Griffin's here. First off, we threw our co-host on Friday, Alex, for a loop. I didn't give her a heads up, and I was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Right? What's going on? So I think it's easier coming out of the weekend.
Yeah.
What'd you do? You do anything cool? You go cover any sports? You watch sports? What'd you do?
Saturday I worked. I work a serving job, primarily outside of this career that I'm chasing. And then yesterday I went to go eat Korean barbecue with my dad. Had a father-daughter-brother moment. And then watched the Olympic trials, which was super exciting.
I noticed that.
That was my weekend.
I noticed that. I did not watch the Olympic trials, so we're going to lean on you in about 30 minutes tell us. I read up on it. I watched some of the videos. I saw some super young kid running, and I saw some super old guy like my age running. So we'll get into both of those.
Got it.
In about a half an hour. Yesterday was Sunday fun day, so I pretty much checked out. I was out of it. I was in La La Land.
What does La La Land consist of?
Let's not get into it.
Sleeping.
No, I was very much awake.
Drinking.
Maybe. Middle of the day, I did keep an eye on the Fever and Angel Reese and the Sky. There's a lot to get into, and I want to expand on this whole topic because we did it a couple weeks ago about the interest in the WNBA. I haven't seen ratings come in yet, so we'll check for that throughout the show on Caitlin against Angel Reese. And more dudes are getting into the fold with analysis, which I think is a good thing, but we'll break that down. Okay, so I'm not a big track and field. I will get into the Olympics in certain spots. I like the stories. I'm very much not a soccer person, but I recognize what we've got coming here and what started already with Copa America.
Yes. Agreed.
Soccer?
I'm not much of a soccer person either, but okay. I do want to start getting into it because it is soccer is truly the world sport. Like, it truly is a world sport. So that's
anyone can play.
Like,
it doesn't take a lot of equipment.
That's going to be my off-season, like, studying that I want to get into, right? Since the major sports, football, basketball, those have came to an end. Hockey is coming to an end tonight. So you got to find where you fit.
I don't think I'm going to study up on soccer. I think I know what I know, and I'm not going to gain much more interest. But maybe as I get older,
but even just going to the matches, I've never been to one, and obviously my bucket list is to go to a match. I mean, I could possibly go this weekend. Right?
Call in some favors. I'm not sure that it's going to sell out. I don't know.
But the fan crowd that you see, especially from the Latin American teams, is insane, and I absolutely am for that.
So we've got Ecuador and Jamaica here on Wednesday at the Owl, and then Paraguay and Brazil.
I wonder how much those tickets go for.
I don't know. We'll look it up.
Probably less than
this is a weird town.
$50.
I don't know. Here's the thing. We're discovering more and more that when big events come here to town, especially at Allegiant, sometimes they're going to be big sellers. Other times there's no one there. Oftentimes, though, what happens is ticket brokers scoop up all the tickets, and then you're like, well, what the hell? How can I get in? And then I've had this happen. Like, I bring up the example of whatever it was, the Pro Bowl games when they were doing flag football. Maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago. My girlfriend really wanted to go. And I was like, okay. And she had tickets, right? So I was going to buy a third ticket and just go in somewhere and maybe move downstairs. I paid, like, after fees, probably $175 for a Pro Bowl ticket. I get inside, there's 30,000 people there.
Oh.
I was so pissed off. But you have to recognize now that the ticket brokers scoop up a lot of tickets. Like, I don't want to keep pounding the story.
So are they picking it up and reselling it?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But sometimes they have them priced too high, and then they don't resell them.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to accuse anyone of, slipping tickets out the back door to the resale market. I don't know how that works, but I just know that I've been to events here where you're like, wait, this is sold out. I just paid a pretty good price, and there's no one in there. I pointed it out on Friday, and I'm not doing it to get on them. I just want people to know that while the Aces have said multiple times now, before the season, they just announced again last week, that they are sold out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Friday's game, the get-in price at probably, what, $4.45, I think is the last time I read it, for upstairs was $13. So it's sold out, but there's plenty of tickets on the resale market.
Because now that won't, people are desperate.
Not enough people are desperate to get into a building that holds 10-5. I mean, it's the you know, or they have, or all week the ticket brokers had the tickets too high for the Aces, and then it dumps out on the afternoon of the game.
Well, you know what game they're going to be desperate to get into? The July 2nd one.
I know.
Caitlin Clark.
I'm really curious.
I looked
that
at
one.
Tickets because yeah. I really wanted to go. I looked at them yesterday. Everything was sold out on any of like the decent levels. It was like nosebleeds that were like 53 a piece, which still isn't bad. But if I truly want to go, I will wait last minute. I will literally wait an hour and a half before the game, and I will literally play roulette. That's just what it has to be.
That's kind of what you have to do in
Vegas.
We're
not shelling out tons of money. No, not happening.
You could, I mean.
You could, but you could also be in the position that you were just in before.
Right, so, where you walk in and you're like, wait a second.
Do you want to really relive that moment?
No, I hate that. Yeah, you're right. Actually, you can go up to Hyde Lounge for the Aces and the Fever on July 2nd. That means you don't sit. It's standing room only, and it's way up.
Yep.
I've done that for concerts. It's been pretty decent. Right now, those are 54. Upstairs, 214 for Caitlin Clark against the Aces is 62-64. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I wouldn't mind doing the lounge either because there's TVs probably on every single wall, at least.
You're high up. I don't want to get on, you know.
You are high up.
The pleasure you have in Hyde Lounge. But
at least you're in the atmosphere too, right? It's like, okay, going to a football game. I love football. It's my favorite sport. But mm-hmm. going there is completely different than watching it on your couch at home where you can see everything live and you can see all of the replays as opposed to you being in the actual, you know, you're in Allegiant Stadium. It's a little bit more tougher there as well. So, TVs will win.
For a lot of people, yes.
Unpopular opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's why certain sports aren't attended like they used to be. I was checking another big event this week. So, we got the two soccer games. UFC 303 is in town. The card got blown to bits at the top because of Conor McGregor and his toe injury. He's got a broken toe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tickets are pretty high. So $250 to get in upstairs. So that one's selling pretty well. We'll have more UFC later in the week. Griffin will be excited. I think we're going to speak to Anthony Smith and Brian Ortega. So Ortega's an addition.
Oh, that's Griffin's home base right there.
Yeah, he
lives
it.
For that stuff.
We have NHL draft at the Sphere Friday and Saturday. That
Very
one's going
to
be interesting because of the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been in the Sphere?
Never.
I have not.
I've seen so many Twitter pictures.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was built as a full experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the dome and the sound and sense, I think,
yeah.
at times. So I don't know what they're
going
to do for the NHL draft,
it's
but I'm sure it'll be spectacular.
Insane. It's literally going to be insane.
Yeah.
I don't really know how much they can hold there, but, I mean, they've had a few concerts there. This is the first sporting event that I say. Oh.
Got music coming in.
Old man.
Steve Cofield is a popular man, guys.
Not really.
He got phone calls, 3 p.m.
It's mostly spam. Bills.
You got to
pay bills.
Collectors.
I know, right?
But, no, yeah, I think the NHL draft's going to be an awesome event, and I'm so excited to see what they have in store and what they have planned for the visuals. It's really going to break ground for so many more opportunities to come there. Vegas is the sports capital of the world. Should we argue that? Should we have that, you know?
No.
Should it be New York still, or do you think we're past that?
We're for events?
Just in general.
No, for,
I mean, besides
it was
the
entertainment capital.
And, yeah, true.
And it still is. For sporting events.
Sporting events.
Yeah, it's the capital. Overall, we don't have all the teams yet.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the only thing holding us back. But all these things are in the works, my friend.
They are potentially. We'll see what the A's, if they get their stadium done. In NBA, there's two groups competing to build an arena. So we'll see if they break ground, especially on the one that used to be on or is going to be on the old Wet n' Wild property. So UFC 303. NHL draft,
mm-hmm.
Copa America, all in town. NBA draft is also going on at the end of the week. I don't think that's good news for the NHL draft. Although that said, I don't know if the NBA draft is a big event anymore. Is it for you? Is it must-watch TV?
I wouldn't say it's must-watch TV, but I would say in particular with this specific year, it is an unknown draft. It's like an unknown draft.
Right.
You don't really it's not too many big prospect names that you hear coming out of this draft. So is it something that I'm probably going to sit through and watch? Probably not. My thing is the NFL draft, which is the king of all kings. So I'm still excited to see what, you know, who's going to come out of it. But, you know, it's tomato-tomato with the NBA draft.
A big thing with the NBA draft storyline there, aside from a lot of unknown players, I think Bronny's a big story if he goes in the first round. The big men are emerging as potential top picks, which I thought the league was kind of done with big men. So maybe Jokic is forcing this return to an old trend. And there's also a WNBA angle to the NBA draft because it's in Barclays Center. Mm-hmm. And that means that the Commissioner's Cup game this week with the Lynx and the Liberty had to be moved because they're normally in Barclays Center. And the NBA is like, sorry, we already have it.
Yeah.
So they moved it. So it's moving a little further to the east to Long Island. I don't know that it will affect the game. I don't know what the court's going to look like. I don't know what the shooting angles are. I don't know. But
yeah.
But it's it's a little bit of a slap, right? Because they planned on a Commissioner's Cup being, well, they don't know where it's going to be until someone gets the home court, and it just happened that the Liberty had the home court and their arena is not available.
And you have fans traveling, right? Ultimately?
I don't know what Lynx fans would do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you travel on that short of notice, or would you kind of find another game? You'd hope some Lynx fans can go.
If I had mucho dinero, I probably would do whatever I wanted at that particular moment. But in this case, if it was super last minute and people work, people have children and jobs, it could go both ways, to be honest with you.
Barclays Center to the UBS Arena. That's the New Islanders Arena. It's 20 miles. Right now, mapping it, it's an hour away.
And it being so, there, yes. That's insane. Traffic is going to be crazy.
Well, it's tomorrow night, so maybe on a Tuesday it'll lighten up a little bit, only 55-minute drive, or I guess you're going to take Subway or something out there, a Subway. I haven't mapped out the Subway route. I don't need to because I'm not taking the Subway. So so that's all the stuff that's going on this week. I would say in terms of rankings, in my interest, nothing against the NHL. Do we want to put in the Commissioner's Cup? We'll put the Commissioner's Cup in a five-event race.
Mm-hmm.
My interest is most in NBA Draft 1, UFC 3032, Commissioner's Cup 3, Copa America 4, NHL Draft 5. That's just me. I went fast there.
I'm going.
What's your best event?
I'm going to go with... Oh, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with UFC first.
Really?
Yep.
Who knew?
I'm going to go with soccer next.
Wow.
Unpopular opinion. I'm going to go
this
with...
This is a major event.
I'm going with NHL draft because there has never been an NHL draft in Las Vegas, and it's also in the Sphere, so I'm excited to see what is going to come from that. And then also to see the fans that will come out and see it, even though there's a ton of people that don't watch hockey, and then, you know, hockey still has a large fan base as well, but I think the draft ultimately will pull a lot of people out of there. And I'm going NBA... That's yours. Did you type mine? Wow. What are you doing? He's tricking me, guys.
No, I was typing mine.
The NBA draft.
I was keeping track of mine. Someone's got to keep track of yours.
The NBA draft is going to have to be at the bottom of my list.
Wow.
Yeah. It really
Ronnie?
Is. Okay.
Get it together.
Who else is excited? Who else are you excited to see come out of this draft besides Bronny?
Bronny.
Exactly.
And I'm excited to see where all the centers go.
I will see all the aftermath on SportsCenter, like most of us will see it later on.
Damn. Ripping my list. Yeah. We got the summer of fun back here at ESPN Las Vegas and Lotus Broadcasting. 8 trips in 8 weeks. We gave away a trip last week to England. This week's trip is to Nashville. Wow. Jack Daniel's Distillery Tour, spending cash. 6 days and 5 nights in Nashville. How cool is that? All you got to do is text in. It's our Planet Nissan Summer of Fun. 364-1100. Dial 702 before, though. That's the way we're going to see your code word. You send in a code word every day. There's a new code word every day. For the summer fun trip this week, the trip is to Nashville. The code word is party, 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 party.
Party.
Right? All the time. Party. 702-364-1100. Text it in now.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, Canada!
All right, there you go. O Canada, Edmonton crowd. Won't be that loud in Florida. Or it might be. I don't know. I got to reach out to a Miami area person today. I wonder what the resale has been there and how many Oilers fans are getting in. But that was pretty cool. O Canada, in front of the big crowd. They forced a game seven. They were down 3-0, three games in a row. If you're a Florida Panthers fan tonight, Nye is in with us. Nye Zaragoza. It's Cofield and Company.
What's up?
You're booing during the Canadian National Anthem, right? I would.
Yeah.
Griffin looks at me like, what's going on here? What are you, un-American? Not coming in our building? With some American players. And taking out the Panthers.
It's only right for us to root for what's ours, right?
Well, I said I would. Okay, so here's the thing. I would boo the Canadian National Anthem if I were a Panther fan. For me, for the game, for Game 7 tonight, which you can hear over on Raider Nation Radio 920 at 4:30, no, I'm rooting for the Oilers. I'm rooting for Edmonton.
Wow, you traitor. Why?
Because
you wanted to jump on the bandwagon?
There's no bandwagon. There's no hockey bandwagon for me. No, Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1993. I think it would be really cool.
What do we care?
I follow hockey enough that it is their sport. And the fact that they haven't won a cup in 30 years. So that's what I'm into, that storyline. And I think a team blowing a 3-0 lead is kind of cool and devastating for those fans. And this is the treatment that we get here in Vegas. Are South Florida fans really, outside of like 14,000, are they really hockey fans? Or do the Oilers, like, who's going to enjoy a Stanley Cup more? Oilers fans or Panther fans?
I would definitely say Oilers fans, but that doesn't mean that the Panthers fans aren't enjoying it in this moment. I mean, okay, maybe they're not because in the position that they're in, but come on now, they can't lose four games straight. Like, that's going to be a dream, if so. That storyline is incredible, but I'm going to root for what's ours, and I want it to stay in the States.
Shiro is rooting for the United States.
I want it to stay here.
Okay. Olympics too?
Yes. For sure.
Not everyone agrees with you. There will be plenty of people who are rooting against the U.S. men's basketball team and even more who are rooting against the U.S. women's basketball team.
But why, though?
Because they're pukes.
Yeah.
Because they have their own motivation. We're going to get into some of it along the way. I mean, back 2004, 6, and 8, there were lots of people. You know, I tell the story all the time. I'm really into the Olympics and our men's basketball team. And I'd go out with Adam Hill, who's on the show all the time, and you'd see people in Vegas at casinos, like, booing, cheering against the U.S. men's team.
Yeah.
They have their reasons.
I guess you can have your reasons, and if you are if you're from that country, not even from there, but your family is from there, I can see why you're rooting for that country. But if you are from America, it would only make sense for you to root for what's yours. But hey, not everybody is loyal anyway, so.
702-364-1100 is the text line. 702-364-1100. Someone texted in. We were talking about all the events here in Vegas. We were kind of ranking the events of the week and with Vegas, also rolling in some big events around the country. And someone said Vegas isn't even the sports capital of the West, which I don't agree with. If L.A. is the person that didn't answer, we texted them. But if L.A. is the city that they're thinking of, and also it's what goes into being the sports capital. Is it just your local teams or the fact that everyone wants to have events here?
Yeah. I would say it's a mix of both, but it's what Vegas has become, right? And I'm born and raised here, so I've seen Vegas come up from the ground up, literally the desert to what has become now. And just like Griff and I were discussing right before we came back on air, it is the capital, right, of UFC boxing, holding those major events, the major fights. Now we have hockey, we have WNBA, we're having the NHL draft, we have the Las Vegas, you know, you know what? I don't even want to talk about baseball just yet. I won't even say Las Vegas.
Yet.
I don't want to say.
We don't have them yet, but
want to say Las Vegas just yet.
We have a Final Four coming. We've got college football national championship game. We've got a pretty big time bowl game here. We've got, I think it's six, now five conference basketball tournaments here because the Pac-12 is gone. So we're the capital. And the other thing is, maybe the question could be better stated, where would you want to go watch an event?
Yes.
L.A. or Vegas. And I like L.A., but L.A. is a giant pain in the ass to get around.
It is.
Vegas is relatively easy. There are locals who complain about traffic
and
here,
there's
but
much more,
that's
I mean,
laughable.
For us as an adult, there's a lot to do in Las Vegas, especially after, you know, you want to go to a boxing fight, and then all of a sudden at the, you know, you want to go out to the club, to the bars, do whatever you want. Vegas is known for that. Not saying that LA isn't. LA still has great hospitality, mm-hmm. great food. I love the water in LA. Don't get me wrong. I don't have hatred towards LA, but I'm just saying what Vegas has become and built, I believe, in my opinion, it's the sports capital of the world. But it's all opinion. It's all opinion.
Let's do a prize giveaway here. 364-1100, 364-1100. Aviators are taking on Sacramento this week, Saturday, 7 o'clock first pitch. You can get your tickets at aviatorslv.com. Caller 7 right now, 364-1100, 364-1100. Our Aviators, AAA Baseball, in town at Las Vegas Ballpark, taking on Sacramento. You know what? On the way back, I gotta mention something, because that whole Canadian National Anthem thing, I actually really did enjoy it, and there was a bonding together. I'm not sure that I always feel that with our National Anthem.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Nye's in with us. It's Cofield and Company. Did you run track?
I have a very embarrassing moment with track. I don't know if I want to say it on air.
All right. Well, I saw you wanted to talk a bunch of the Olympic trials and track. I was like, oh, maybe she ran.
Okay. I'm going to just tell y'all anyway, because this is what we do. Sometimes you got to put ourselves on blast. I played volleyball all 4 years in high school. I attempted to run track my junior year, but I had a shin splint for the entire season.
Why are you putting yourself on blast?
Never ran a race. It's okay. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just...
Injuries happen.
Got to let the people get to know you.
Okay. So, anyone out there that's had shin splints, Nye's your connect now.
And I didn't know how to get rid of it. But I still love track for sure. My brother runs and he's great at it. So, yeah.
Could you run a 200 meter, like right now, let's go outside, let's run 200 meters?
I'm terrible at running.
Okay.
I'm actually naturally terrible at running.
I could not, because I would hurt myself.
Yeah, so you probably
that
would.
That would be a tough time. That's why I'm super impressed that one of the stories that came out of the weekend was Snoop Dogg, who's 52, long and lean,
mm-hmm.
ran the 200, finished it. The time wasn't great.
Yeah.
I think the, what's the men's record, like 19.5 or something, 19, it might be like 19.1. Women's record's like 21 something. He ran a 34.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 50 plus to be able to finish?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It was worth the try, too. I just love Snoop because you see him everywhere. He has like clones. He is absolutely everywhere, supporting everything, every sporting event. He's putting his hands in it, and he did it. And he went out there and he ran, which is not an easy thing to do, especially at his age.
Opposite end of the spectrum. I never heard of this kid before, so this is why I like the Olympics. You get introduced even in the trials, because he may not make the Olympics. But there's a 16-year-old Quincy Wilson from DC who ran the 400 yesterday in the semis. And made it to tonight's final. So if he does well, he can actually be on the Olympic team at 16 years old.
Which is going to be insane because he's going up against men who are literally a decade
did you watch the
older
race?
Than him. Yeah,
how much
I
bigger
watched
the dudes
it.
Were?
Yeah. My dad was just talking the whole entire time. He's like, this is a kid. How is he going to beat these guys?
It's crazy. But,
I mean, it's things that you have never heard of. And I love this kid because he is really smart. And he's coming out saying, high school – like, he's a sophomore in high school. High school athletics cannot offer him the type of competition that he's trying to enter. So to do it at an Olympian level at the age of 16 years old is absolutely insane. So, hey, I got to root for him. But tonight will be interesting.
6:59 our time. Supposed to the 400 men's final, U.S. trials going off, and top three will advance to the Paris Olympics. That would be a cool story.
That'll be an insane story.
Sha'Carri Richardson is back.
Mm-hmm.
She was very emotional.
As
she ran a 10.7. I don't know why I'm doing these numbers. As if there's any, I guess there's some track
no,
and field
but
people out there.
10.7 is good. It's just course, like when yes. a football player runs their 4.2. You want to know the seconds. Come on, say the seconds. Let's go.
So she ran, and of course she ran into the Olympics. She did not make the last Olympics because of a positive weed test.
Yes.
And there was a lot of follow up on that and mm-hmm. retest and. So the most fascinating, one of the more fascinating things about the Olympic trials is you can be awesome all year long, 4 years, for 3+ years, and then you run a bad race and you're out.
Yeah.
Like they're like, I understand when they break down and they're like, I made it. There's so much friggin' pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bad day and not make it. So good for her. And then Noah Lyle, who's got a personality on him. He ran the 100 men's, and as he normally does, and he was the
winner.
That
man has a if personality was a definition, he would own it because he has. And it's like, I'm trying to like you, but I don't know. It was just after that whole entire NBA fiasco of him. You remember him saying that the NBA is not world champs because it's not the world. It's just like, what's the point of saying that? Ever since you said that comment, it made me think differently of you. But talent is talent, and I will never take that away from anyone. Anyone.
Are you over it?
Not really.
I thought it was a good way to get some attention because I didn't know who he was before that.
He got a whole lot of attention.
It's sort of a knucklehead take, so I don't know. I didn't get that worked up about it.
I don't like that. Well, what's the point of comparing your sport to anyone else's? Because it makes it just seem like you wish you were in that position.
I mean, he is right if they wanted
to. And then just the way he came out, like, I mean.
He did it for attention.
You're supposed to be hyped, right? You're supposed to hype up the crowd, but, sir, calm down.
I mean, technically he's right if they, you know, if the NBA champion needed to play someone in Europe or whatever. Some Japanese or Chinese league or Australian league or Filipino league, then I guess you could do it. But what's the point?
What's the point?
The best players are all here, mostly.
Yes, very true.
Steve Kim is on the way. We're going to get to a hardcore breakdown. A lot of people got worked up again yesterday over the WNBA and the Fever and the Sky. And from a number standpoint, Angel Reese's team, well, not only did they win, but she dominated.
The new fans are sucking the life out of the WNBA right now. It's just the truth. But you know what there was in the WNBA last year and the years prior? There was other storylines. There was joy. And all there is right now is a culture war. The idea of talking about the W at this point, exhausting. I'm already exhausted.
No California, my Texas. Don't bring that stuff over here.
All right, back here, Cofield and Company. You hear a little L. Duncan, who 3 weeks ago was exhausted talking WNBA. We'll get into that. All right. We were also talking about the majesty of the Canadian national anthem a few minutes ago, and I said if I was at the game tonight, I'm a Panther fan, I'm booing the Canadian national anthem. But everyone has their feeling about anthem. Steve Kim is with us. Steve, we got a lot to get to today. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Steve.
I'm good. Nye's here. Nye Zaragoza. You know, I was at a sporting event over the weekend, Steve, and they were introducing fans from out of town. And when the guy in the field, it was actually a Savannah Bananas game, which is kind of interesting. But when they announced Californians, there was actually an audible boo from the crowd. I was like, what the hell's going on here? In Vegas.
You know, I think that it's certainly the Gavin Newsom effect, and I think, this is just, again, my theory as a Californian, is that you guys are probably sick of us moving over there to escape from Gavin Newsom and all his policies. And so, you know what? I think the boos are actually justified. I have to come clean on that.
I'm not sick of it because my house has doubled in value, so thank you. who am I to say, I mean, people from New Jersey are kind of sloppy pukes as well. So, I mean, I'm from New Jersey, so, you know.
I could be anti-Jersey. Hey, you know what the left here is? Yay, capitalism. All right.
There you go. Yeah. All right. I mentioned the Canadian National Anthem. Edmonton Oilers fans were all singing along with I forget who the singer was of the National Anthem. First of all, Game 7 hockey, kind of a cool event. You into it at all?
Not really, although it's kind of interesting to see if the Panthers are going to choke this away. I mean, a lot of my friends in Florida, they were celebrating a Stanley Cup about 5-6 days ago, and it's just kind of fallen apart. And I'll be honest with you, from the Florida Panther fans that I know, that there's not a lot of enthusiasm. It almost feels as though it wasn't just Game 6. When they lost Game 5 to make it 3-2, there became this very, very uneasy feeling. And as someone that watched the 2004 ALCS, it is interesting. When you're up 3-0, the first game that you lose is no big deal. Because then you're saying, okay, they're bound to win a game. It's a gentleman's sweep. You'll end it the next one. But when you don't win Game 5, in my view, even the team that's up 3-2, they still feel the pressure now of not choking this thing away.
So I see a lot of dudes, if you're not into hockey, I see a ton of dudes now really breaking down Caitlin Clark and WNBA games. I assume the WNBA must love that. Your guy Whitlock said last week that Angel Reese was unskilled and was kind of hammering her, and yesterday she went off for 25 and 16 in a win over Caitlin Clark's Fever. What'd you think?
Well, we actually addressed that today, that whole issue of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And for the record, I only watched clips of Caitlin Clark, the CNC shot factory out of Iowa City. I still think that her game aesthetically is very pleasing. But look, Angel Reese is good at what she does. But I said this last week, guys, as someone who was a former Laker fan who's now in recess, when it came to Shaq and Kobe, look, Shaq may have been the number one option and the most dominant force. But at the end of the day, 20 years later, you know, if I'm going to watch highlights of either one of those two guys, I always end up watching Kobe Bryant highlights. They're just more exciting. It's more aerial artistry. So that's kind of the same effect. But, you know, both have had a really good season. Guys, watch this story. That thing about the rookie of the year is going to be heated. That's going to be a story for about a week. People are really going to debate.
Right now on that, Caitlin Clark is about a minus 800 favorite. So it's not close. Now, if I were betting it, I would take the dog because you can get Angel Reese at whatever, plus 700, plus 600. But you're right. It's going to be really interesting. And I wonder who dictates, you know, what storyline is bigger. Winning should count. And technically the Fever, I guess they're about tied. But on the reference to the game itself, because I saw Whitlock also tweet out, great game for Angel Reese, properly focused. However, Christie sides is a bad coach. I saw a lot of that. A lot of people hammering the Fever coach.
Well, they should. Look, if you're going to say Caitlin Clark is your Steve Nash or Isaiah Thomas, okay, and obviously she's really good distributing the ball in addition to her shooting, all right, if that's going to be your Steve Nash, you better get her a Mike D'Antoni. And I can go a step further. You need to surround her with players that understand their role, that you're going to have to set picks, you're going to have to sacrifice your body. I kind of make the analogy to the 2001 Sixers where everyone had to sacrifice their game for Allen Iverson. I mean, that was a bunch of role players that went to the NBA Finals that particular season, lost to the Lakers in five. I still remember those guys, Eric Snow, Aaron McKee, Matt Geiger, Harpering, Theo Ratliff before he got traded. And there was an understanding that we know who is the straw that stirs the drink. It's Caitlin Clark. Now, Caitlin Clark is very unselfish. And if these girls had better mitts than Edward Scissorhands, she'd probably have three or four more assists per game and at least one or two less turnovers.
Now, Steve, I know you talk about Caitlin Clark's and her unselfishness. Do you think that this Reese-Clark comparison or this battle is now becoming the greatest rivalry in women's basketball?
It's an interesting question because they're not really the same position. And, you know, people would make that argument about Larry Bird and Magic Johnson because one was a point and the other one was a pure three. But they still had similar games and they were similar size. I think they were both about 6'8 to 6'10. You know, Angel Reese is really a player. She's not going to do much on the perimeter. She's going to be a four. She's a big. In that league, everything she does is going to be in the paint, and she's about rebounding and being physical, and that's certainly not what Caitlin Clark does. But I think this has more to do, almost not a basketball comparison, but really has to do with culture, about the fact that women's basketball has gotten a jolt. And look, say what you want about Angel Reese. She is willing to play the foil.
Yep.
She's willing to be the contrast to the white knight that is Caitlin Clark. And so there's a storyline there that's never been there. Look, I don't think either of these players historically have the all-around skill of a Cheryl Miller, who I actually saw a lot of at USC. She was like the first great women's basketball player that I knew of. Are they as dominant or as well-rounded as Cheryl Swoops or Lisa Leslie? Time's going to tell. I would think probably not. But again, there is a cultural impact here that, quite frankly, some of it is drawn along racial lines. And in that sense, Magic and Bird, they've admitted it, was also drawn along cultural and racial lines.
Yeah, you don't exactly know what's going to draw people to an athlete, to like them or dislike them. And there's something, if we move over to boxing with Steve Kim, Spot is brought to you by Snack Nutrition. There's something about Ryan Garcia that draws people. First of all, this one-year ban, is it really a one-year ban if Team Garcia believes they can fight internationally or do like bare knuckles boxing? How is this going to work? I don't think Turki Alashik is going to take the bait and go, you know what, screw the sanction, or not the, screw the states and the penalty here and the ban from the New York Athletic Commission. Is this really a ban, or is he going to find somewhere to make money fighting?
I believe that if he tries to circumvent this ruling by fighting overseas, that when he reapplies for a license, he may not actually get it. And in terms of doing bare-knuckle boxing, I read the story from Dan Raphael, and it pointed out he's not allowed to do any other combat sport either. So that rules out the UFC or BKFC. And as it relates to Turki Alışık, I believe that Turki Alışık, if he is serious about making boxing into a real legitimate sport like the National Football League or the NBA, you can't be that rogue organization that provides an out, okay? Now, my personal view is this, and I wrote this in my column today. If I was the commissioner of boxing, which quite frankly I should be, to be honest with you, I would have said 2 years. Yeah. What I'm being told is, guys, they thought they were going to get 6 months, but here's what I think swung that into a year sentence, that the New York Commission made it clear to everyone that we are actually monitoring Ryan Garcia's behavior after the fight.
Oh!
So everything that happened after April 20th, after the fight, all that wackiness, all the stuff that he does, it worked against him. So while it was all fun and games and he went viral like he does every single day, everything he did, I believe, had an impact and influenced the commission's ruling into not saying it's just going to rubber stamp into a 6-month suspension.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I do. Because think about it, guys. He also, and this is not talked about enough, he skirted the rules or circumvented it by not even trying to make weight by 3 pounds, which provided a huge advantage. Steve, you talk to any combat athlete, I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, it's only 3 pounds. Folks, it's not only 3 pounds when your body fat is less than 8% like a lot of these guys. Right. Those 3 pounds, actually, the process in which you lose it, the impact that it has on your body and the way it makes you feel, it's big. I think people are trying to skirt that particular issue. And so here you have a situation where a guy blows off the weight on purpose and admits it, right? So he mocks the commission, and then he actually gets busted for PEDs. Now, you can argue if he did it on purpose or any other theory you have. I've never seen that case where a guy blows off the weight on purpose and also fails a drug test.
The reason I ask you if you like it on the post-fight behavior the weeks after, I'm not sure that I want the New York State Athletic Commission to play the role of spy and then judge and jury over his behavior over the next year. Because, I mean, you know this right now. He was playing poker over the weekend. I don't know if anything wacky went on. I know Jimmy Butler was there and what, Neymar was there.
Yeah.
Who are the guys on the – or I don't know who's on the commission, guys and women. Who are they to judge, you know, what he does in this next year if he's getting crazy – crazy's in the eye of the beholder. We're gonna now judge him by his behavior?
Yeah. Look, there's certainly an argument for that. Here's the issue. I actually think the year is not bad, even though I would have gone a little bit harsher. Because if you would have only gone 6 months, these guys only fight every 6 to 8 months anyway. And I've said this before. That is like suspending a starting pitcher for 4 or 5 games. What is really being missed here? With a year, you at least miss one fight, and if it's retroactive to April 20th, I mean, in theory, he's probably missing 2 fights if he wanted to stay quote-unquote active by today's standards. And with the money that he makes, so in addition to the $1.1 million that he forfeited back to Golden Boy, the $10,000 fine, you know, you could say that the financial losses, I would say conservatively, are at least $10 to $15 million. So, I mean, look, something was lost, but you're right. Look, I was told when I asked about the psychological testing the New York State Athletic Commission wanted to do with Garcia prior to the fight, and I heard Garcia really balked and said, you're not allowed to do that. And someone said, Steve, here's the problem. If you set that precedent, do you know how many guys in boxing are really crazy but just don't put it all up on social media? You might – and see, that's to your point, Steve – you could be opening up a Pandora's box here.
Exactly. There's always the worry with the NFL or, you know, the NBA. The commissioner goes too far, and then all of a sudden everyone's going to be graded on this ridiculous curve. Last one, last 2 minutes here. Steve Kim is with us. Find him up on Twitter at SteveKim323. Shakur Stevenson's up in a couple of weeks. I know you joked about a video that was put out talking about a going-away party. What's the big storyline in this fight? And then when he wins, what's the goal from there?
Well, first of all, who said I was kidding? If it was up to me, if I was a betting man, yeah, I would actually say that this is more than likely Shakur Stevenson's last bout with Top Rank. Now, coming up here on July 6th against Horat Union, this is the final deal of his current contract, and it's been a kind of a tempestuous relationship with Shakur either retiring or accusing Top Rank of being racist and prejudiced and not getting him the fights that he wants against fighters who don't want the fight against him, and somehow that's Bob Arum's fault. And I just get the sense that both sides have had their fill with each other. I think you call it, what, irreconcilable differences. And look, Shakur Stevenson's a very talented guy, very gifted boxer, one of the toughest outs in boxing, but he's going to find out that unlike 2018, when it was a seller's market, when you had new networks coming onto the scene, almost having blank checks for any fighter of note, I don't know if those offers are going to be there anymore. And Steve, I was out there in November during the F1 for Shakur Stevenson's last fight. It was boring. It wasn't well attended. People were leaving in the middle of it. So I don't, again, Shakur had a five-fight extension with Top Rank that was going to pay him a minimum of $3 million per fight. So that's at least $15 million on the table that he left. So let him play the free market, and maybe someone says, you know what, we're going to pay you even more. But that's the risk that you take when you go out on that open market.
What's coming up on 3 Knockdown Rule? You're taping it pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we were going to have Eric Gomez, the president of Golden Boy, on, and then the Ryan Garcia thing happened, and they not comment on that situation. So it's just going to be me and Mario pontificating about prize fighting and other things
That's
in about an
good.
Hour or so.
That's always good. Steve, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Appreciate you.
Bye, Steve.
There he is. Steve Kim. SteveKim323 up on Twitter. We got a minute left. Go back to the beginning of the spot when I don't know if you'd heard that thing about 3 weeks ago from L. Duncan saying that the new WNBA fans are sucking the blanking wind out or the excitement out of the sport.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Really?
Yes.
I think they're adding to it.
No, I think they're sucking out of the WNBA, to people who have been watching it and to people who have played the sport, is a specific type of art, just like NBA is, just like NFL is. These WNBA fans are now coming in and being new to the league and new to the physicality of the game. It is completely different than you would have imagined. Now Caitlin Clark steps into the scene. The viewership goes up. The prices, the sales goes up. Season tickets get sold out. And what? It's a form of division.